Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Friday edition of the Steve Jones Show. As we're heading for the weekend, News Radio 1070 WKOK and Sean Carey. In just a second, we'll hear from Steve from the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Friday edition of our show, always brought to you by Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Get settled in for a lot of great NFL action this weekend, so make sure you're stocked up on your favorite beverages, snacks, pretzels, chips, pickle bar, peanuts, and so much more. Water, soda, all there conveniently located for you. One location, the beverage supermarket. Make that your first and last stop. Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. So, of course, we always wrap up the week with Steve's brother, Kevin Jones. So we look forward to hearing from the king, the most interesting man in Connecticut. He'll join us at 4:35 as we do our NFL wildcard weekend selections. So, again, geared up for that. We'll also continue our Penn State football season recap. 4:06. We always like to get a terrific mix of Penn State football beat writers. And one of the guys that's been there the longest, Neil Riddell from the Altoona Mirror. Neil will join us next hour at 4:06. You can subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast if you miss any of it live on WKOK. We can drop the shows right to your smartphone and tablet. Just search Steve Jones Show on your Apple Podcast app or iTunes or Google Play.
Or just text suit.
Or text suit to 11111.
Not funny.
Suit with a road trip tonight. Suit and the Chief tonight heading to Clinton County. We got Shikellamy Central Mountain basketball, and airtime will be at 7:06 tonight on WKOK.
Road trip?
Oh, he's already complaining about it. Oh, it's my longest road trip of the year.
Road trip.
I got it's my everyday drive, dude. It's like, come on.
Road trip?
Yeah.
Yeah. I woke up in a different bed three straight days.
You did.
And this guy's telling you about his road trip?
That famous line Dorothy had in The Wizard of Oz was going through your brain this morning when you woke up. Ah, as you're getting your coffee. There's no place like home.
No place like home.
Yes.
I'll say this, last night was the best night's sleep I had all week. I know that. It's amazing about being back in your own bed. I fell asleep. Like, I was out. Oh, some people, I think, felt I was out doing the game last night. I'm just joking.
Although it was a throwback in the first half last night, that's for sure.
Well, okay, but I got to get to the elephant in the room first, okay?
Yeah.
So let's get to that first. And that is as follows. Let me start by saying this. I did not see it happen last night. In fact, none of us did. Dick and I were like, I found out about it today.
I actually had a call from a viewer who he called me up right before we went on air. And to be honest, I watched it and was listening to you and Dick at the same time. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention to the screen if they had it on live. I don't know if they did or not.
No, they did not.
Okay, so that's what happened. That. But yeah, I kind of stumbled upon it on Twitter this morning that something something happened there a couple seconds after the game. Okay.
No, this was during in the first half.
Okay.
This was in the first half, and I guess they went to a Pat called a timeout, so I guess they went to a break. When they came back from the break, they showed it. Because it was on tape, they had the camera on the hull. I didn't know a thing about it till today. Zero. We're up in the upper area. To be honest with you, where we are, the basket blocks the Penn State bench anyway.
I was wondering where you were located, because I always like to spot you and DJ at the away games, whether you're on the floor or if you're up.
Right, and a couple places. Ohio State's another one. Where you're up, but you're not in, like, on the court at all. Okay? So my angle, even looking over there, is not great. But when you get to a break, yeah, you take your time out. Yeah, Jeff's telling me what I have to read coming out of the next thing. I'm checking my iPad to, you know, to look for a couple specialty stats to see if there's anything I'm looking at that kind of back up what I'm saying. And that's what you're doing. You're not sitting there going, what's going on in the huddle? Like I can read lips. Okay. So now let's get to it. The perception is always going to be the crusher in all this. There's no getting around it. So let's get to it right away. Was Patrick Chambers wrong to put his hands on Miles Dredd? Yes. Did Patrick Chambers apologize for it? Yes. Now we'll see what Penn State does, pro or con, surrounding it. It's, you know, did Patrick Chambers know he was wrong for doing it? Yes. That's why after the game he apologized. Now you just go from there. It really is. I mean, that's about what it comes down to at this point. You know, was he wrong? Yes. Did he admit he was wrong? Yes. Did he apologize? Yes. Now we'll see what Penn State wants to do, pro or con, about it. And you go from there. There really isn't much else I can say about it. Because I know he thinks the world of Miles Dredd. Thinks the world of him. And I'm not at liberty to really say, all right, but the reasons for it are far different and far more benign than what's being assumed, which is usual. I mean, everybody makes assumptions. I know what I saw. Yeah, I know you think you know what you saw. Tell your friends at the party, you're always the smartest one in the room. I can assure you, you aren't. that's the bottom line to it. I don't really know much else I'm supposed to say about it. And now you go from there. Like I said, they'll have to make a decision, pro or con, as to what to or what not to do about it. But it's pretty cut and dried. Should you do that? No. Did you do that? Yes. Were you wrong? Yes. Did you apologize? Yes. And now we'll see what they want to or not want to do. I think that kind of wraps it up in a rather simplistic ball. Now, as for the game, Michigan's ranked second in the country. Penn State played great defense last night. John Beilein said last night, it's the best defense anybody's played against us. The problem continues to be Penn State just can't score. And you know what? Michigan keeps you from scoring. They play phenomenal perimeter defense. They cover. Every time you think you've got a pass, they cover it up. Now some teams want to aggressively hit the offensive glass. They'll send four guys to glass, keep one guy back. Michigan doesn't worry about offensive rebounds. Boom. Ball's put up. Boom. They are hightailing it back. They want to make sure they're not giving you any transition baskets. And the entire key to the game, when Penn State could set up its half-court defense, they had them. Penn State got within three early in the second half. Then after falling down by 17, they got back within eight a couple of times.
couldn't hit a three to save their soul. The only three they made last night was banked in by Miles Dredd. And they were not shooting up. I mean, most of their three-point attempts, I think half of their three-point attempts were in the last 3 minutes of the game. But they couldn't hit one. The only one they got was banked in. Banked in. That's it. Mike Watkins had a great game, 19-12. Lamar Stevens, especially with the second half, had a great night, 17-10. They had two double-doubles last night. Michigan's just that good right now. They're just that good. They're playing really well. Their defense is great. And Penn State's defense was great last night. When they could set up half court, they played great defense. The problem was, and Pat emphasized this to his team yesterday, he says, guys, I don't care if you throw the ball out of bounds. We can't have live ball turnovers. And to start the second half, Michigan got a series of live ball turnovers, and off they went. The points off turnovers in the first half were 6 points apiece. They had 14 points off of turnovers in the second half. Michigan did. And it was that 3 to 4 minute segment of live ball turnovers that did Penn State in. Because when Penn State set up in its half-court defense, Penn State played great half-court defense last night. Not good. They played great half-court defense last night. Michigan played great half-court defense last night. But it was the live ball turnovers that gave Michigan the working margin needed to put the game away. Penn State cuts the game down to three. Cut it down to three. 25-22, then boom, like that, all of a sudden you've got a 17-point lead. Now you got to battle way up the hill. They got it down to eight a few times, and you know, but you're trying to battle back. If they just hit one basket, boom, margin pushes back out again.
It was great to see much more aggressive play with Penn State on offense last night, especially with Mike Watkins in there. You and DJ brought up a great point going into halftime with you know, he had no fouls going into the second half.
Right. So you play loose and free in the second half, and he did. And Michigan's not a team that's going to foul you. And since they're not going to foul you, see, Mike made a mistake in the first half. He tried to make this play from about 5-6 feet out, right, where he's just like, okay, so I don't draw any contact. You got to just be patient, go in there and get yourself a little bit closer because Michigan does not want to foul. You have to use what they do or don't want to do against them. And in the second half, Mike did use that against them. They, you don't want to foul me? Fine. I'm just going to go up and keep going here. I'm going to get as close as I can and score. Lamar Stevens, same thing. Get close enough and score. But I'll tell you this, Iggy Brazdeikis, father's an MMA guy from Lithuania, moved to Canada. Iggy is the Phil Mickelson of college basketball. He is right-handed who plays left-handed. And he, at 6'8", he can move, he can defend, he can pass. He is a good-looking player out of Canada. Get a chance on The Athletic. Brendan Quinn is going to write an article about Iggy. Went up to Canada, just got back from Canada after going up to talk to the dad. Iggy Brazdeikis. Okay. Let's see. Penn State football front. Same five guys. Okay. So make sure everybody knows. Look, it's the way of sports today. Now let me give you the fact of the day that shows you how much sports has changed. College football playoff championship game is going to be in Santa Clara. Guess which venue does not qualify to host the college football playoff championship game? The Rose Bowl. Because the Rose Bowl does not have enough corporate suites for the college football playoff committee's liking. The Rose Bowl does not qualify to host it. The most idyllic setting in all of college sports. Are you kidding me? Everyone shake your heads all at once. Like, you've got to be kidding me. That's where we are? But, you know, as I mentioned yesterday about the five guys leaving early, Do I think all of them could benefit by staying and become better, far more finished products than they are now? Absolutely. Could they help Penn State win next year? Absolutely. But under the current system, every player has to make a decision for themselves, whether it's their home finances, whether it happens to be, I think I'm ready to go. If I stay another year, will I actually improve my stock? Because there's going to be other young players coming out next year, too, who will take up draft slots. Or it could be, look, you know, and I'm sick of school, I'm going. Yeah, really. And I realize all these, you've got to get your degree. Yes, it's great if you get your degree. But if you have an opportunity to go out and make a lot of money, in reality, hasn't college already done what it's supposed to do for you? I mean, there are a lot of people who get their degrees, and their degrees aren't worth squat. Okay. I've got a degree in whatever, and you look at them and go, and what job do you get with that degree? But you're a college grad. What job can you get with that degree? I always hear that all the time. It's like, why? Okay, you're majoring in what? Okay, over here in the back. Why? We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet. All right, let's get to it here. Dick in Milton. Hi, Dick. How have you been?
I've been good. I've been good, Steve. But I just wanted to wish you and Sean and Kevin a good year again. It's been a fun year listening again this year. So this past year. So I won't take you up any more with the sports stuff today. But I knew you guys were running up on a break. So that's all I really wanted to say.
Oh, that means look a lot, for, Dick. I want to wish you a happy new year, and I want to take the moment to thank you because I think you add a lot to the show. Thank you so much.
Well, I enjoy your calls. I enjoy the subject, so I wouldn't call you. So anyhow, have a good year, and I'll be looking forward to listening to you this year.
Thanks, Dick. Steve. We look forward to hearing from you, too. Thank you.
Bye.
That was awfully nice. I appreciate that. That's great.
Checks in the mail. Got another one. Baby steps, one at a time.
Well, I mean, if let's be honest with you, all the ones we're getting from Kevin, he's got the entire state of Connecticut listening to us now.
Right, the most interesting man in Connecticut.
Yeah, he actually is. That's amazing.
Who is he going to pick this weekend? We'll find out in a little over an hour.
Yeah, it should be good. Looking forward to it. We'll have a lot of fun with that. Neil Kulwong next half hour. Where, oh, where could Antonio Brown be? Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The pickle bar, led by the barrels of the Dills. Indeed, second to none. Stock up now at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in beautiful downtown Hummel's Wharf. You know, it's interesting about with Patrick Chambers. He's been about as mellow this year as any time I've been around him. And again, if you actually know the circumstance, you might have a little bit different opinion of it, or at least a modified opinion. But I'll leave it at that. But you can't do that, okay? It's wrong. He apologized. He thinks the world of Miles Dredd. Thinks the world of him. So we'll see what everybody wants to do with it beyond that. Okay? Now it's... I think it's only fair, Sean, okay, just so you know, to bring in Neil Coulong from Pittsburgh. That I'd like to at least preface this by saying that we have named Neil Coulong the MVP of the show.
Yes.
Because we don't want him storming out. Neil, welcome. Great to have you with us on the show.
Thank you. I appreciate the honor, and I'm sure you would just ticked off an entire staff of people that demanded that they win the prestigious MVP award that I just received.
Bye.
I'm not sure how to celebrate. I'll go ride around town on my bike, I guess.
All right, so let's get to that. The immaturity of a certain player who one day is throwing furniture out of a window and then walking out of the locker room the next and not practicing and missing meetings. What's your take on all this, and also what kind of respect do you have for Mike Tomlin as to how he handled it?
Oh, boy, that's that's the entire segment to answer both of those. As far as Antonio Brown goes, I can't help wonder, and I'm not trying to speculate, but I can't help but wonder whether or not the absence and or presence of Richard Mann, his old receivers coach, the coach that retired last year, if that did not have maybe not an impact on this, but the lack of it couldn't prevent some of this. Because, I mean, it really, all of this just seems to have escalated to a massive degree this year, didn't it? I mean, he did things, but usually it was, running backwards in the end zone from 20 yards out after a punt return touchdown, things like that. And maybe up to the point of recording a Facebook Live episode while Coach Tomlin's giving the post-game address. Those aren't, good things, don't get me wrong. But they're not throwing furniture off the balcony. They're not, throwing a football at the quarterback and walking out and refusing to get treatment to the point where the coach has no choice but to bench you. It really seems to have gone, off the deep end this season. And while, I don't think that Antonio Brown has been what most people would say the most normal guy, I don't think his behavior was ever as vicious as it seems to be right now. I'm not sure what happened to him. I'm just, more than anything, it's like, AB, are you okay? I mean, what's going on here? I mean, whatever it was, he's dealt with it at some point in his career. He's played with the same quarterback. He's had different receivers come in and have, whatever level of success. There's a difference for him strategically in that he's facing way more double teams in 28 than he did, pretty much a permanent double team, because the safety doesn't have a running back they need to worry about running all over the field the way that they did when Le'Veon Bell was there. He had to deal with a lot more. So in that regard, I can understand why he might be a little miffed why he didn't win the MVP. I'll even throw this into it. It's possible he had a huge contract bonus that he was hoping to get paid out on winning the team MVP. If that's the case, then he's dealing with it in a completely wrong fashion. But there at least is some grounds to it. If not, I don't know what his issue is, and I don't think that Mike Tomlin really knows what his issue is either. He just has to deal with this in some way, and you know, despite the fact that Antonio Brown himself is 100% responsible for his actions leading into the team's Week 17 game, Tomlin was the one who benched him, and Tomlin is still being found responsible for it. I don't know what else a man is supposed to do. If Antonio Brown wanted to act that way, he had absolute opportunity and you know, freedom of choice to act that way, and he did. If, now, what are they going to do about it? I don't know. That's a million-dollar question.
If Mike Tomlin didn't bench him, we'd be having a completely different conversation about he'll do whatever it takes to win, and he's lost control of the situation. I mean, to me, he acted like a head coach.
Yeah, he did, in my opinion, the only thing that he could do. At the same time, what he didn't do is exactly what the fans want. He's not going to throw him out for public sacrifice just because of all this. He's going to deal with it. And if you've listened to Mike talk at the podium long enough, I know that a lot of it seems very the same, kind of bland. He has a certain pace and certain rhythm that he goes at. He was not in a good mood when he was talking about that. There's something that's going to happen because of it. I couldn't tell you exactly what it is, but Antonio Brown is not going to get, you know, preferred player status moving forward, and that's unfortunate for everybody involved, including Antonio Brown. He's got a great thing with Ben Roethlisberger. He's done great things in Pittsburgh. They have something of a shot to try to, you know, make one more great thing out of the whole thing. I don't think he's going to get the opportunity if he goes anywhere else, especially considering his salary. He only has 2 years left in his contract. So right. It shouldn't end this way. I think that's really the frustrating thing in my mind.
So now you see how this thing ended up for them. They watched Cleveland essentially botch four plays. That was as poorly called a football sequence as I've seen in a long time in the Cleveland-Baltimore game. Jack Hamm and I sat there, and we're talking about what plays they should call to put themselves in a position to kick a field goal, and they did none of it. What Cleveland did on those four plays from, what, the 39-yard line? Look, there's like, who's running this show?
If I was off the record during that stretch of plays, I honestly would have thought that Cleveland was throwing the game. I couldn't believe the decisions that they made. Mayfield's pass before the interception was easily the worst that he had made all game, to the point it looked deliberate to me. I'm not suggesting conspiracy. It's just it was that bad that it brings out that kind of questioning at a low level. And the interception itself, with Tony Romo rambling on about how great of a play it was and that was the right throw, there was nothing correct about that throw. No. I'm sorry. The guy is – C.J. Mosley's a big guy. If you don't see him throwing a middle screen, there's something wrong with you.
Yes, there
he
is.
He absolutely should not have missed that. Yeah, in many ways, I'm not trying to deride anything for Baltimore, but Cleveland lost that game. At the very least, Cleveland completely blew an opportunity – to kick a makeable field goal to win a game that they were 5.5-point underdogs. And it's their fault they didn't. That was not Baltimore making a big play at the end of the game.
No.
That was Cleveland blowing that game.
Where to from here for the black and gold?
Oh, I honestly think this offseason, perhaps more than any other, I have no idea what they're going to do. I think everything is on the table. We saw Joey Porter get let go a few hours ago. I don't think that was really a surprise. Right. That was going to be coming. Whether or not that's the position coach sacrifice that they make after bad seasons or not, I don't know. We'll see. I don't think that Danny Smith is going to be retained either. They'll probably announce that coming soon as well. I'm not necessarily sure that, you know, either Joey Porter or Danny Smith or really any other coach can claim full responsibility for what happened this season. A lot of it is certainly on Mike Tomlin. They're not going to get rid of Mike Tomlin right now. I think they've got a problem moving forward. And I'll tell you what, to get back to the Antonio Brown thing, while everyone is screaming about Brown and responsibility with Brown and this and that and the other thing, here's what I want to know, and this is the real difference between this team and where it was 10 years ago. Who keeps running to reporters after the season ends to blame a player on the team for the loss? That's more the issue that I would have right now with Mike Tomlin.
That's an interesting question.
why is that happening? Last year, it was Le'Veon Bell didn't go to a walkthrough. Well, I happen to know they usually don't go to those walkthroughs. They go to the walkthrough up until they aren't needed, and then they leave. That's kind of the point. It's not supposed to be a heavy, intrusive thing. Le'Veon Bell, Ben Roethlisberger, they don't need to be there for the special teams walkthroughs. Those guys are not going to play on special
right.
teams. They leave before that. If it goes first and offense is last, they show up for it when it starts. It's the star player treatment. I'm sorry you don't like that, but you know, bringing in the military attitude that everyone has to do everything, that doesn't win Super Bowls either, okay? It's that simple. What I want to know is why are the media very quickly picking up on these stories very quickly after a team lost? And with this, it's the language of it now. You're hearing up and down, well, this Steeler player is saying that they would have had to, or Antonio Brown would have had to fight through a wall of them and, you know, get his shoulder pads ripped off if he tried to get on the field Sunday. That's a pretty bold statement. You're talking about assaulting a teammate now. Why is that acceptable, but what he's doing isn't? I think overall there is a lot to be said about the culture of this team and how it has shifted. But to me, yes, that is on Mike Tomlin, but the best teams you're ever going to talk about, let's you know, maybe not even the best team ever. Look at the Eagles last year. Doug Peterson said up and down, I appreciate the praise for the coach. I did my job. The reason this team won is because they had strong leadership. They held each other accountable. The veterans did most of this stuff. I didn't do much. I just gave them the opportunity to do it. They went and took the reins on it. The Steelers do not have those players. I said this on this show last year. I remember it. They need a shock collar type of defensive leader to come in the locker room from the outside and start showing people how bad it can be elsewhere. That's what they needed to do. They didn't do it. At the very least, John Bostic, I don't even remember what his voice sounds like. No one ever talked to John Bostic at all.
Right.
He was not, as in my opinion anyway, as much a vocal leader as what this team really needs right now. And you're not getting it from any of the young guys that they just drafted. You can just see that. They're likable. Maybe it's a generational thing, but they're not nearly as aggressive, confrontational as what we've seen from Steelers defensive leaders in the past. And you know what you're getting from Ben Roethlisberger nowadays. He's not going to be that. And oftentimes the quarterback isn't the guy that's going to be that. It has to be the defensive player, the guy that wants to inflict pain on people, the guy that wants to be in a position to lead everybody to that emotional state. That's usually the kind of guy that they are. They need to find that type of player, and they need to find him now.
How do you view the playoffs this weekend?
Oh, I don't know. I'll be honest. I barely looked at it. I was kind of depressed. I sort of wanted to see Dallas-Seattle in the NFC Championship game. I thought that would have been fun just to show that, you know, Super Bowl championships aren't won week five. You know, we've seen the Chiefs totally collapse. We've seen the Rams collapse. All these great offensive teams that were blowing people away at the beginning of the year fell apart down the stretch. And what do we have? We have Chicago. We have Dallas. We have Seattle. We have Baltimore. Maybe, possibly, to some degree, the Chargers. A lot of these lesser heralded teams look like the stronger teams. So in all honesty, I'm probably rooting for the road team in every game this weekend. I might continue that trend for a while, with the exception of the Bears. I'm pulling for Chicago.
Pulling for Chicago, all right.
Wow. Against the defending Super Bowl champion, Philadelphia Eagles.
Wow. Carson isn't playing, though. You know, if Wentz isn't playing, I'm not inclined to root for the Eagles more than I am anybody else. And, you know, we've heard the Eagles chant. We've seen it all. I'd like to see somebody like Chicago come from absolutely nowhere with a great young coach, in a team with easily this season the best defensive coordinator in the game. Vic Fangio should get a head coaching job, even though I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't. To see them put all of that together and make a legitimate run to the Super Bowl, I think that'd be fantastic. I'd love to see it.
Let me ask you this about the Steelers. The Steelers, for years, did a great job of finding really good football, quote, football players. I've felt in recent years they've tended to go toward the combine athlete guy. Maybe there's a little bit of a change last year. How important is this draft, and what are you going to draw from the players they draft as to what the philosophy is?
I think the answer to that is going to be best. It'll be best determined when we figure out exactly what they're going to do with their roster. Where we sit right now, I mean, the Antonio Brown thing is hanging over the entire city. You know, that is going to depend. That will alter a lot of things of what they would do in the draft. They go from a very nicely stacked wide receiver team to really not a whole lot of depth at all, which is a problem that Antonio Brown had to face for the majority of his career in Pittsburgh. To have that hanging over their head at the 20th pick, you might be able to get a pretty high level receiver at that spot, at least a guy that, that, you know, checks a lot of boxes. Would you go in that direction? Would you have to replace him then with that pick? That'll screw up a lot of their plans. I'm not sure if they will, but you're going to have to find somebody. I mean, you need to replace a receiver on the roster if that's what you're going to do. I can't even say for certain if they're 100% at the running back position. You know, I know everybody loved James Conner, but you're not totally sure what you have there yet outside of a pretty solid back. Do you have a legitimate three-down threat the way that Le'Veon Bell was? And I say that to say, who's to say Le'Veon Bell isn't in play? You know, are we completely done with him? I don't necessarily think so. He said this time last year, leading into the Jacksonville game, if he didn't get the contract he wanted, he wasn't going to play. That's exactly what he did. You know where Le'Veon Bell is coming from. And I think there's enough there to say, I don't think either side won this. You know, maybe we should try this a different way. Now, all right, we called your bluff. You were right. You weren't going to play. You suffered because you didn't make a dime. We suffered because we didn't have Le'Veon Bell on the field. How can we fix this? I think that is a smart conversation for the Steelers to have with the cap space that they have. Outside of that, you're going to have a new outside linebackers coach. That still is a position that's going to be a need, and I think I've said that for the 7 years I've been on your show. There always is a need for them to get a pass rusher, and they're even, you know, compiling sacks at a pretty good rate. I'm happy to say I was pretty wrong about T.J. Watt. He looks like he's a long-term player. You're happy with that, but you can never have too many pass rushers. Certainly the way that they played defensively, the you know, final two drives of the last six games. I mean, they played 48 minutes of half the season. They weren't able to close teams out, and that happened on the ground, that happened in the air. A lot of situations would have been probably put to rest if they could get to the quarterback one or two more times down the stretch. It would have been good to have some depth at outside linebackers so Watt and Bud Dupree didn't look like their tongues were dragging on the ground late in the game, and that's what we saw.
I'm just glad that when you said that, they didn't say in the 7 long years I've been.
I see my mind flashed back. I remember the old job when I was hiding in a conference room talking to you. I'm glad I don't have that.
Yeah. Okay, this is what I think.
there were times that happened. There were times. I might not have exactly heard the question because I was scurrying away from somebody else. Probably shouldn't admit that. I only say that because that was probably 6 years ago. I don't have to worry about it anymore. Not a problem.
I like that. I like the fact you don't have to worry about it anymore. what would you do with Antonio Brown? Not what the Steelers are going to do. What would you do?
Me right now, I'd fire off the text messages because this is the kind of person I am. You need to respond by 5 o'clock or I'm going to make it extremely difficult for you to get anything close to the contract that you have right now anywhere else in the NFL. I will leak so many stories about you. You need to call me back. When he finally does, just sit down and say, look, you're a huge part of this team. This happened, that happened, the other thing happened. We need to be able to work through this. If it's true that you really don't think guys were working all that hard, let's find a way to figure this out. Give me your input. You know, try to make him, you know, come together with the rest of the team. And from there, right. You need to convince him that he's going to have to, you know, earn his way back.
You want to make him part of the solution.
Yes, exactly. And he's got to be the spearhead to that. Because, you know, from in the locker room perspective or from a public perspective, none of this goes away until he shows some type of contrition for all of this. I don't care who he is. I don't care how good he is. Nobody is in the right to completely skip a game because he doesn't agree with whatever it is that they're deciding to do. That's not excusable. Certainly not in this town. They don't like that at all. You're going to need to say something about it. If not, again, you're not going to like what happens to you overall. You're going to end up somewhere else with half of what you have around you, and they're going to cut you as soon as look at you for the amount of money that you make. We kept you on. You're still on the team. I'm having this conversation with you.
Yeah.
That's more than you'd get anywhere else. So what do we need to do here? If you really think that this is it, you know, if this is going to be too much of a problem, if you can't do any of those things, go tell your agent you have my permission to seek a trade, and we will pick the trade.
Well, there's another part to it, too. Look, being the team MVP, Neil, between you and me, who cares? I mean, who cares about winning the team MVP? But when it comes with a bonus check to a guy whose personal life is a mess, okay? You and I both know it's a mess. He sort of needs the money even though he's got this huge contract. You and I both know that.
That's what I've said to people about it. I really don't think that he wants the the trophy or whatever that comes with it.
No,
I think what he wants is the money that's probably in his contract that we don't know about.
Yes.
At the same time, the Steelers have fronted him salary for like the last 8 years. In March, he gets he's probably been paid more guaranteed money than any player south of Kirk Cousins in the NFL. People don't seem to understand that the Steelers have paid him a ton of his contract.
Yes,
whether or not he should have to do that, and whether or not every player should get that, is a different story. But
this is not a backloaded contract.
Yeah, they've made good by him every year that he's been out there.
Yep,
I like to think if it was that big of a deal, they might slip him a few bucks, you know, because the reality is, if you understand what you were watching, I'd be really interested to hear Jack Ham's comments on this. If you know what you're watching, you saw how much attention was paid to Antonio Brown this year, and for him to have put up the numbers that he put up,
phenomenal.
Is borderline miraculous.
Phenomenal. He was.
It might have been his best year.
He was bracketed everywhere.
To JuJu Smith-Schuster, I think, is a fine player. He was singled by linebackers at times this year. I mean, come on. They had equal stats. Brown did more.
JuJu Smith-Schuster had a really, really great year. And a big reason why he had a really great year is because of Antonio Brown.
Yeah, yeah. And that's usually the case. You know, it's a symbiotic thing. I think that Brown played that part well. I think that JuJu played that part well. He was very, you know, he was quick to thank Antonio Brown for everything that he did for him. He said all the right things in winning this award that, frankly, the team should just throw out or let the writers vote for. I'm not sure which, but if it's going to cause this, come on, you've got all kinds of problems. You can't say that JuJu had a bad year, but at the same time, he didn't do half of what Brown had to do just to get open to get the ball. Brown got the ball more. That might be another problem. JuJu picked up more Star of the Game trophies as well, and I understand that might bother a guy that's used to getting that all the time, but the team probably would have made him whole. You know, I like to think that would have been the case. If he just continued to be the soldier that they're paying him to be, let's keep that in mind. Brown makes 40 times as much as JuJu does.
Exactly.
Same thing with Ben. Ben probably wins that award, all things being equal, every year. But his award is being paid more than twice than any other player.
Just so you know, our next guest, we're going to call them the MVP so that they react the way you did in this segment.
Oh, that's it. That's it. I'm going to your boss. I'm walking out. Somebody's paying me my $1 million. I need my bonus. March is up.
I'll talk to you next week, Neil. I look forward to it.
Have a good one, guys. Thanks.